Mark Simon joins us, Sports Info Solutions. Mark A. Simon, yes, says you. What is the Twitter again? I always forget.
Mark A. Simon says, Sports Info_SIS.
Got it. Mark A. Simon says. All right, very good. It's early for me here. I've been up early today. All right.
Nice. So the weather's great here, too, by the way.
Oh, very good. Glad to have you on, as always. And, boy, how about Dickerson? Who is this guy? Where did all this come from? And, well, what do the numbers say, at least for a couple of days?
The numbers like him. The numbers liked him when he was healthy with the Padres in 2016. Boy, he's had a rough injury history the last couple of years with a torn ACL and Tommy John and all the different things that he's gone through. But if you were gonna pick among the guys that they've tried out this year in the outfield, I think you would put him near the top of the list. He's kind of what they probably hoped that Connor Joe was going to be. He has a good history in terms of selectivity at the plate. He doesn't strike out in abundance. He has looked a little overeager, I think, so far. But his history there is pretty decent if you go back to his time with the Padres. He's shown that he can hit a hanging curveball. He has shown in the past that he can hit the fastball. He's been a little off on it so far and his earlier stint in San Diego. I think you have to keep giving this guy a try, though. He's hitting .370 in AAA with the Padres before he was a Giant. He's older, and maybe he's a useful part a year or so from now, hopefully when the team's a little bit better as a kind of a fourth outfielder type. But for now, I think you just ride the hot waves.
You know, I was thinking about it. Dave Fleming said this yesterday, and I really appreciate Dave sharing it with us when we did the talk back. He said maybe Dickerson was ahead of his time, that the swing he had in 2016 was kind of the swing you'd like to have today, where, you know, you've got that uppercut, 27-degree, 30-degree launch angle on the balls you hit. And that's the way he swung back in those days. And maybe, you know, maybe it wasn't looked upon as favorably, but maybe he was ahead of his time. Is there any credibility in that?
That sounds like a legitimate thing. Anecdotally, just watching Quick Pitch this morning, if I could count the number of uppercut swings and compare them to, say, watching Quick Pitch 3 or 4 years ago, it's like tenfold increase. And if he's got that kind of swing, I would say when they move things in a little bit at the home ballpark, that maybe he would hit a few more home runs. But yeah, he seems like a good fit so far.
Yeah, so far. Look, it's the first 2 days, nine RBIs. We'll see what he does today. Mark Simon's with us. Mark A. Simon says on Twitter, Sports Info Solutions, as well. Mark, Yastrzemski's another one, and I watched his swing last night. Archie Bradley doesn't have much on the ball, but he put the ball in the nitro zone, I call it, and it's in the upper part of the strike zone. If you look at that box, it's well below the top of the box, and it's right down the middle, and Yastrzemski just crushed it. And 405 feet, his fifth home run, hit a ton of home runs in the PCL as well. And Yastrzemski's got that swing. He can get under the ball, and he can take it out.
Yeah, this is, I guess this is, we call it like a lottery ticket. This is like the treasure hunt that Farhan was on. And it took, what, 6-7 tries to strike gold with it. And some guys do struggle with that pitch. It's good, a good indicator that he's good against it. Both he and Dickerson share the common thread that they like the kind of down and in pitch that I think you would expect, like, for a Dickerson to like. Yastrzemski's numbers against that are really good. The thing he's got to be able to do a little bit better is catch up to the heat. Mm-hmm. He's shown he can hit the off-speed pitch. He looks better than the guys that they had at the start of the year. If you're judging off that, he looks pretty good. And again, useful piece, fourth, fifth outfielder, maybe next season's team when they've got a few more pieces in place.
There are a couple of graphs online this week, and I know you tweeted one out of the, I call it the nitro zone, of where homers are hit within the strike zone, comparing a few years ago to where they're hit now. Has the area expanded, in other words, within the strike zone, or where it used to be you had to put it right here to make a mistake? Is it a bigger area now?
Yeah, oh my gosh, I'm glad you asked about that. My colleague created this GIF that we put in this article that we did at sportsinfosolutionsblog.com. And it shows you that, like, there isn't any real safe zone for a pitcher anymore other than that kind of corner down and away that can be a tough spot, I guess, for a pitcher to hit. But it's expanded considerably in terms of you only get the average player gets a home run on like 4% of his swings, or like 3 to 4% of his swings. So, but the number of areas where that happens now, you got a lot more up and away. It seemed like the home run happy zone has expanded upward and outward, and that's where guys are starting to crush it.
Boy, interesting. We didn't get to this last week about the Giants, and there was another analytical survey done with the shift and how close the Giants are. I think they lead the major leagues, if I'm not mistaken, for balls that are actually put in play with the shift, that they're closer to where they should be than any other team. Is that correct?
Yeah, so that was another study that my colleague Andrew did where he looked at essentially the idea was that if a ball is hit on the infield, was your guy within like, did you have someone within like 6 to 8 feet of it? And the Giants were the best at that, that they seemed to be positioning their guys and putting them into spots where you could predict where the ball would be hit. They were at the top. The Dodgers were really good too. The teams that move their guys around a lot tend to be good at this, but that's one you should bring up with the professor, certainly,
yeah.
Because I think he would feel pretty good to know that he's moving them around pretty well.
Yep, he was very happy. I did mention that to him last Sunday, and I forgot to mention it with you. But, yeah, I said, and he didn't know that, and that was a good stat for him. And he's done a great job. Great job. All right, Sean Anderson today. And, again, I talked about this morning with a couple of the guests that we've had on. 40 innings pitched, essentially 24 strikeouts. I'm so used to seeing, you know, 40 innings pitched and 52 strikeouts. This guy sort of goes the other way. And for a young pitcher, 24 years old, is this a good number?
I would hope to see more out of him. And it's funny because, like, in the PCL, he was more of like an 8 strikeout per 9 guy. And I don't know what's happened, but none of his secondary pitches is like a winning pitch for him. And I think to be successful long-term here, he's going to need that. Right now, his FIP is about 4.5, and his ERA is like 4. So he needs something else, I think is the best way to put it. What that something else is, I will leave to Kurt Young and company to figure out. But I think he's someone who they can see potential in, and maybe there's a light at the end of the tunnel for him. But I think to be really good, he needs something else.
Yeah, I agree. And that was my comment this morning, that he needs a put-away pitch. And I've seen that. He's gone into some long at-bats. But look, he's gone 5 innings in every start, and he's another guy that has first-inning trouble. The Giants are notorious for first-inning trouble. What do you say about that? You know, you see a stat, they're outscored 75-19 in the first inning. Well, how do you explain that?
You know what? That's a tricky one, I think, sabermetrically. I don't have an answer for that. There was no history of that with, like, Bumgarner or Samardzija, right? It almost seems impossible because it's literally been every guy that they've put out there has had this issue. I would regard it more as a fluke and not necessarily something to worry about for the long term. It just seems strange that it literally hit every guy this season, and I don't know what that could be, because they're good in the second inning, they're good in the third inning, they're good in the eighth inning, they're good in the ninth inning. That's different pitchers.
But yeah, weird.
I don't get it at all.
Yeah, puts them in a hole right away. All right, Ketel Marte, number three in the second base voting for the All-Star team, and he had a week like Charlie Blackman had a week, and Dickerson and all these guys. He's just been on fire. And cramped up on Friday night. Maybe he'll play today. I haven't looked at the lineup today. But Is he Marte? I mean, the guy can fly, hits the ball out of the ballpark. He's all of a sudden turned into a superstar.
Yeah, I don't know what happened with him, but I asked one of the Diamondback broadcasters the other day what's going on there, and they said that his he was comfortable in center field. He's been comfortable at second base all year. And that he's just a great athlete. And this is the year that his athleticism happens to have shown up. He must have done something to his swing because the home run total is outrageous. But he has essentially fulfilled his potential. You have to remember that when he was up early in his career, he's only 25, so there was still room to grow for him, and he went from 5 home runs to 14 with the 12 triples. He's in a ballpark that's very conducive to big offensive numbers, I think, and he seems able to handle almost anything except for that cramp. And the Giants were probably fortunate that they didn't have to deal with him the last couple of days.
Yeah, not in the lineup today. Not in the lineup today. And I sort of got a little crazier earlier. I said, move Crawford, Dickerson, and Pilar up in the order because you got guys who can't hit a lick in there. Panic is like 19 for 100, you know, at the top of the order. And Longoria struggled. Posey's not in there today. Belt is 7 for 45. So, Bruce Bochy being the Hall of Fame manager he is, not me. The lineup is Panic, Yastrzemski, Longoria, Belt, Vogt, Pilar, Dickerson, Crawford, and Anderson. How about that?